Want to do a real quick rehash of what happened in the last couple of weeks. The first week we opened up with this message called broken. And we established a definition. We established really that brokenness does not mean defeat. We think it does because of the way we've kind of lived our life. We hear the word broken and it's like not usable, unusable. And really biblically and spiritually, broken is actually an amazing place to be as a believer because it's in brokenness that God breaks not necessarily our spirit or our will, but what happens is when we come to a place of brokenness, it's when we come to a place of full dependency upon the Holy Spirit. It's a place of dependency upon God and what God wants to do in and through our life. And what we've done is we've confused two words. We've confused the word broken and we've confused the word contrite. The Bible has something to say about that. Contrite or contrite spirit is what you think of or what the world would think of when you think of a broken spirit. When you're just defeated, you can't go on. Your life is through. There's no more. You can't get it. That's actually contrite, a contrite spirit. And the Bible says that Jesus, if you go back to the prophecy of Jesus Christ, is that he took the contrite spirit for us. So praise God, that just leaves us with victory. We don't have to be this wounded, oh me, woe's my, you know, life sucks kind of deal. And so we kind of established that in the first week. And in the second week, last Sunday, we started talking about hearing from God and how we have to develop in our lives this lifestyle that allows God to speak into our hearts. And I think what happens is because we're all busy, and I asked that question, I said, man, how many of y'all are just so busy? And everybody in this place raised their hand, because we are, we're all so busy, and we don't understand why we can't hear from Daddy. And I want to tag on that just a little bit more this morning as we go into the part three. And it's titled, I've titled this message this morning, When God Whispers. And we picked up, we're going to finish this passage of scripture here in 1 Kings. We already looked at the story of Elijah, a great prophet of God, who had slaughtered these false prophets, these false gods of Baal. And then the queen, Jezebel, puts this kind of death wish or death warrant against Elijah because of what he did. And so he runs, he takes off, he bolts. And, you know, he's just seen a powerful move of God. And see, some of you today, why is that so relevant? Because some of you today are going to experience God, or even last week, you experienced God in a way, maybe a refreshing way that you've never experienced God before. And then you're going to go out today, or you're going to go out to work Monday. You're going to experience God maybe this morning, and you're going to go out back out there into the world, right? And something's going to happen, and you're going to forget what God did to you and did for you today. We all do it. It's kind of this weapon that the enemy likes to use. See, the Bible says that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to kill the word, destroy the word, and take the word from your life. And that's his role. And we talked about this last week, how God gets such a humongous bad rap. Because the enemy comes in, Satan, and sometimes it's us. I mean, it's kind of, there's a two thing. You know, we blame a lot on the devil that really is our fault. Amen? I mean, we do things that we just, you know, hey, that was a kind of, you know, shouldn't have done that. But then we blame it on the devil that the devil made me do it or whatever. And he can't do anything that we don't, against our will. I mean, we gotta have that permission, you know, or whatever. But listen to me for a second. We blame a lot of stuff on God. We have a family in our church that I've been ministering to, and I shared this story with you last week, that he believed that the reason why so many bad things were happening to him and in his life was based upon a ring that he had bought. It was like a Lord of the Ring type, you know, thing you buy offline or something like that. It wasn't no big deal. And he said, man, he said that he thought that the reason why God was doing all this stuff because he bought that ring. I'm like, are you kidding me? I said, I really don't think God cares about your ring. He cares about your heart. God's not out to get us, church. Well, let me rephrase that. He really is out to get us. But he's not out to get us with a hammer and this big old club, and he's, you know, want to stomp on us because we've jacked things up. Look, man, do you think for a moment that you surprised God when you messed something up? Gosh, I can't believe he just sinned. I didn't know that was going to happen. God has a thing called foreknowledge. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows everything. And the thing about Elijah is that Elijah just experienced, much like many of us, we experience such a powerful move of the Holy Spirit or God in our life, and then we go to work or we go home, and then there's an attack. maybe on our finances, or maybe with our family, or maybe whatever, and we begin to blame God. Elijah was kind of doing the same thing. Elijah kind of had this pity party with God. Don't you see what's going on? And it's like he forgot that God showed up and just consumed two sacrifices that were poured out with water over it and destroyed these false prophets. Elijah just kind of forgot that. And so he runs and we find him in a cave hiding from God. Like that can actually be possible. There are some of you today that you think you're hiding from God, and God's like, dude, you know, I see you. You can't surprise God. And that's where we're going to pick up the story this morning in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 12 through 13. Real quick, just a summary of this message here. It says, and after the earthquake, a fire. What happened was basically God says, or an angel of the Lord tells Elijah, go out of the cave. So Elijah walks out to the end of the cave, and he's expecting God's going to speak to him, and he knows God's going to speak to him. Just like many of you here this morning know that God is going to speak to you, but you don't know how he's going to speak to you because you're looking maybe in the wrong direction. You're not looking in the right direction. And so Elijah was the same way. He says, man, get up, get out of this cave, go out here, and I'm going to speak to you. And so a great earthquake happens and a fire, but the Bible says that the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there came a sound of gentle stillness and a still, small voice. When Elijah heard the voice, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Here's where we're going to go this morning. We need to learn to recognize the voice when it speaks. And guys, the church has kind of messed this thing up. Because the church says, man, all you got to do is study the Word. Just study the Word. But the problem with that is many people don't. You can study the Bible all day long and get almost a carnal type knowledge. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, there's a lot of people who have a great knowledge of the Bible. But because there's no connection of the Holy Spirit in their life and they don't recognize the voice when it speaks. So they have this great head knowledge of the Word. They can quote chapter and verse of scriptures all the time. But the problem is there's no power when they quote the Word. Why? Because there's no connection to the Holy Spirit. And see, God exists. We have no problem with God the Father, right? Amen. Anybody in here have a problem with God the Father who created the heaven and earth? Anybody in here? Looking really quick. Okay, cool. We're in the right place. Does anybody have a problem with Jesus Christ, the Messiah? Raise your hand real quick, real quick. Okay, why do we have a problem with the working of the Holy Spirit? Think about that for a moment. In the beginning, in Genesis, we see the creation of man. And God says, let us make man after our image, after our likeness. Let us create man and women. And that's what he did. He created mankind in his likeness, which includes the Holy Spirit. We're a three-part being. We're a body that houses a soul that has a spirit. And when you're not saved, I've talked about this before, real quick, I don't know why I'm going here, but real quick, what happens is when you are born in real life, you're like a little baby. Like I just seen my grandson and broke his heart. I did, I'm sorry. He seen me. It wasn't my fault. I had to go to my office. All right? So he was born, he's a little baby, he's beautiful. And he has a soul. And he does have a spirit. And somewhere, and I can't explain all the good, all the ins and outs, but somewhere in the midst of when he grows up and he's able to understand right from wrong, his spirit man is not alive. I'm going to jack with your theology for a moment. His spirit man is not alive until something happens, a battle takes place between his head and his heart where the soul lives. The soul is your mind, your will, and your intellect. It's your thought. It's how you think. It's how you feel. It's all in your soul. And then what happens is your soul and your mind begin to have this argument. And somewhere in the midst of that, because you've heard the gospel message, the Spirit of God wakens. And the Spirit of Jesus, or your spirit man gets to win. And that's when you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. And you believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead. The Bible says by that omission, you become a born-again child of God. Now, until that takes place, you don't have that relationship. And so we skip out and we throw the Holy Spirit out because we don't understand that the Spirit of God has to come with us. John said this, or Paul said this in the book of John. I've talked about this several times. I don't even know why I'm going here. But the Bible says that Jesus said that the Holy Spirit is with us when we become Christians. Okay? So you have the Holy Spirit kind of as your guide, and he does guide you. But to have the relationship that God desires in our life, where in times of when we're broken, we have to have an impartation of the Holy Spirit, where we get to hear his voice. Now, I'm going to ask a question, and I don't want you to raise your hand because I'm not trying to embarrass you. But I want you to think about this question for a minute. Have you heard from the voice of the Holy Spirit? And I would say that probably around this number, and I'm pretty accurate, especially in our church right now, because of our transitions that we're making, is there's probably about 75 to 80% of you who've never heard the Holy Spirit whisper to you. And we're going to talk about why that is important and why that happens in the body of Christ. Because that promise of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said this, is to all who will believe. Are you and all? Shake your head, you and all. All right? It's for all of us that will believe. We get to receive this baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's not weird. Man, Holy Spirit's not weird. I know sometimes you kind of watch too much TBN, all right? TBN's not bad. There's some good TBN there, all right? There's some good stuff. There's some good speakers out there. But I know sometimes you kind of watch this stuff and you're like, that's weird, all right? Let me tell you something. Paul even said this in the book of Corinthians. He says, look, do stuff in order so that people who don't know Jesus can come in here and find Jesus, not weirdness, all right? God's not weird. He's not weird. They need to make a movie. We got God's Not Dead. We need to make a movie, God's Not Weird. 1 and 2. Praise God. All right? Now look, when I build and develop relationship with, I have developed a relationship with my wife. I've been married 24 amazing years. Well, let's not have all been amazing, okay? Because I don't want to lie to you and sit up here and say it was all amazing. There was a 6-year, 12-year stint in there that wasn't quite kosher. Pretty rough. But anyway, we've been together 24 years and we have learned and developed in a unique relationship. All right, and some of you guys can and gals can amen and attest to that. The longer you're with someone, right, the longer you're able to kind of feel out their quirks, right? Robin knows my quirks, and I know y'all are not going to find this believable, but Robin has a bunch of quirks, all right? She does. I mean, for real, all right? Anyhow, I'm not here to talk about her quirks. She has them a lot. A lot of them, all right? But here's the deal. My wife can be on the other side of a room. And I can be engaged in a conversation with Brian and Norma and Jason and Brian. We all be over here just talking, duck, 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 duck. Everybody's talking. And across the room, I can hear a certain laughter. And I don't have to turn around. I don't have to look. I don't have to, man, who was that? I know. Because I have developed a relationship with her quirks and her that you have to take them both. I'm saying, you know, you just got to take them both. That I know her laugh. I know she doesn't have to shout across the room. There can be noise, and I've seen it done a million times, where there's all sorts of noise, and Jason might be hollering my name, and Marcus is hollering my name, and Luke's hollering my name. Everybody's hollering my name, and I'm like too engaged in something. I'm not even paying attention, and they're hollering at my name, and my wife goes, Michael, and I'll turn. Why? Because I recognize her voice. No, it's not because I'm whooped, all right? Don't even try that, man. Y'all whooped, man. That's why you know you're going to get your butt kicked. If you don't turn around, you're going to get in trouble. No, it is not that. It is that I have a relationship with her, and I recognize that voice. I recognize her voice. And there might be a little fear in that, just a little. But I recognize her voice. Do you know something? That the Holy Spirit, God's power, God's presence, God's the Father, wants you to have that same relationship with him. The problem is we don't know how to tune in. We don't know how to hear his voice because we haven't put ourselves in a position to say, hey, man, I want to develop this relationship with the Father so that I can recognize that voice. You see, Elijah had a relationship with his Father. You know, that's why he went and he trusted God to the point where he went before the 40 false prophets, right? And he trusted that God was going to win. How do we know that? Because he made a bet to the prophets and said, hey, look, I'll tell you what, you go pray to your little God, and I'm going to pray to my God, and we'll see who's the true God, whoever consumes the sacrifice. So he trusted his father, right? So we know that he trusted, but what happened is he took his eyes off of it. He took his eyes off of what God, who God was in his life, and he began to put his eyes and focus on man. This is nowhere in the notes. I haven't even started on the notes, have I, Doc? Say amen. I haven't even started on the notes yet, man. This is just great stuff, all right? So the whole idea about being broken is learning to connect with our Father, that brokenness is not an end in itself to the relationship that God wants to have for us. We think it is. And so the Satan comes in and something bad happens in our life, and because we have this knee-jerk reaction, which is, oh, it must be God's will. God made this happen. God did this. God did that. And we accuse God of all this stuff. And oh, the devil and the flute foot, man, what he does, he just snickers off into the grass. He did his job. You blame God? I can't have a relationship with the Father like that. Do you know that? I can't have a relationship with the Father, man, that's going to check me every time I turn around. I can't do it. We weren't designed to have that type of relationship with our Father. We were designed to have a relationship of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever shall believe upon him shall not perish, but have everlasting eternal life. That's the love of a father. I don't want a father that says, hey, you know what? I'm going to crash your finances so I can teach you a lesson. I'm going to take your loved one so I can show you and you'll trust me then. Really? That is a lie from the pits of hell, church. My daddy didn't do that. My daddy doesn't do that. The Bible says this. It says that Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Who does? Satan does. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And God says in the book of James that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from the above, the Father of light. We got to get a grasp on this. And the reason why is this part right here. We won't put ourselves in a place to hear from our Father. Now, I'm not saying that bad things don't happen. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. Life happens. We live in a society, we live in a world that's fallen. It's a fallen world. When Adam and Eve relinquished the control of the dominion that God had given them in the Garden of Eden and gave it over to the devil and the enemy, the snake, what happened was the authority that we had as believers, we lost. So what did Jesus do? Jesus had to come back on the scene. And when he comes back on the scene, many of y'all didn't even know this, but he had to reclaim everything that was taken from that Adam and Eve had lost. And we find that truth because in the Bible, in Luke, I believe it's 14, I could be a little bit wrong, but it's in that area, we see Jesus go off into the wilderness. He had fasted for 40 days and for 40 nights. He had fasted and prayed. And during this time in the wilderness, Satan came up. And here's the cool part. Everything that Adam and Eve lost, everything that tempted them to sin, Jesus in the garden or in the wilderness for those 40 days, 40 nights, was the same exact temptations that Jesus had to face, and he won victory over it. Why is that important? Because he had to reclaim our dominion, a relationship with our Father. And that's what he did. Three things that we're going to look at real quick. You can write these down in your notes so I can figure out, make sure we get done with this. All right, check this out. In your notes, open up your worship guide. Everybody, open up your worship guide. All right, I'm going to give you the answers real quick, all right? Number one is frequency. Frequency. Number two, just hold it right there, Doc. It's okay. I'm going to come back to all that. I'm just going to give them the answers real quick. Number two is frequently. Frequently. I see people not writing. Write this down. It's going to be important. Frequency is number one. Frequently is number two. And the last one is, what is it? I believe it's flesh. Yes, flesh equals frustration. Flesh equals frustration. All right? I want you to have these because it's going to be really important. All right? So we've got number one is going to be your first knot right there, frequency, the ability to tune in. Right? Frequently, the amount of time I spend listening. And then flesh equals frustration. All right. So I'm going to go through this because I wanted you to get this. Here's the idea. The more I spend, the more time I get to spend with my wife, the more I get to know her. And see, here's the deal. When I'm on that other side of the room, I'm tuned in. I know the frequency of my wife. And some of you know that frequency as well. Some of it's a little bit higher pitched, much higher pitched than others. And you tune in, especially if you were on your way to church this morning and you had a little, you know, little fight, little thing going on. You're really tuned in at that point. And the same thing for the guys. You know, our wives, they hear, there's a tunage that they're able to have because of the relationship they've developed with you. Jesus had the same thing. Jesus was tuned in to his Father. Matter of fact, he said this. He said that the things that I do, I only do because my Father tells me to do it. Well, he's in tune. He's into the right frequency. The reason why some of y'all don't hear from Holy Spirit and you don't have that, because you're not tuned into him. You're tuned to everything else in life. You're in tune to your bank account. You know when, man, $5 go out. You're calling a husband. All right. $5 missing. I don't care. You don't need a soda. You don't need to drink. You drank last week. We know. We're in tune to that. We're in tune to each other's whereabouts. We're in tune to everything in life. Hear me this morning. But we're not tuned in to the Holy Spirit. Here's an amazing thing. I love it. And as I was writing this, this is actually what I was thinking about, is that, remember back in, well, not everybody will remember this, but some of us will remember it, back when they had just the push-button type radios. Y'all remember those? They sucked trying to tune anything in. Horrible. They literally sucked. I mean, you couldn't, it was like, really? And it's like, all this, you know, you're trying to dial that sucker in, you know. You get out, you play with the antenna a little bit, put the coat hanger on there, praise God. Right, wrap the top of it with foil, huh? Y'all remember them? Right. Why? Because we were trying to tune in. We want to get our favorite station. We want to tune into the right place. Get that right song, that right station. Maybe it was the 80s hair band. Yeah, you know, whatever. But Jesus did the same thing. Here's the thing about being tuned into the Holy Spirit. First of all, the Holy Spirit is never pushy. The Holy Spirit is not pushy at all. And so a lot of times people go, how do I know that I'm hearing from the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit's not going to push you to do something. There's not a pressure with the Holy Spirit. Actually, what happens is the opposite, is that there's a sense of peace will come upon you when you know you're supposed to do something the Holy Spirit's asking you to do. But the Holy Spirit's not pushy. And it's different from reading the Bible. It's different from having an understanding of the Scriptures and knowing what the Bible says in having this frequency and being able to tune in. Now, the Bible's very important because we need, the Bible says that we should hide the Word of God in our hearts that we do not sin against God. But the other thing, I was talking with a brother and he said it so beautifully. He said, you know something, I have a hard time remembering Scripture until it comes time that I need it. Because see, he takes the time right now, he's studying the Word of God, and he's hiding it within his heart, but he has a hard time bringing it back to remembrance. But see, here's how the Holy Spirit works. When a situation comes that you need something, you need more than what you have to offer, the Holy Spirit reminds you of that Scripture that's inside your heart. And it'll come out. And you're like, oh my gosh, I forgot that was in there. Because you've taken time to study the Word of God. But it is different. Being able to tune into the Holy Spirit and understanding God's Word are two different things. But they're both very, very important. Now look, Jesus spent time listening. We find it in Mark 1, 35 through 39. I want to read this real quick. It says, before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out into an isolated place to pray. That's the first thing, guys. Sometimes we just got to set ourselves time to say, you know what, I need to get away. Some of you are making financial decisions and family decisions and all this stuff in your life, and you've yet not got away. So that you can hear from your Father, tune in to the right frequency. Verse 36, later Simon and others went out to find him. I love this. Watch this, see if y'all can see it. When they found him, they said, everyone is looking for you. Watch Jesus' reply. I've never seen this until I started studying this. But Jesus replied, look, he didn't say, hey dude, I'm around my Father's business. I'm doing what I gotta get done. Watch what he says, so cool. But Jesus replied, we must go on to other towns as well, and I'll preach to them. That is why I come. So he traveled throughout the region of Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and casting out demons. Now, Doc, do me a favor. Go back to the first that first slide there on that scripture. Go back to that place right there. I want to show you something. Watch this. Verse 35. Before daybreak, the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. Go to the next slide. But Jesus replied, "We must go on to other towns as well. I will preach to them too. That is why I came." So he traveled throughout the region of Galilee, preaching, casting out demons. Do y'all see it? Y'all see it? I never discovered this before. Marcus, this blew my mind, dude. Why was Jesus alone praying? He had stuff to do. He had things to do. He knew he was going into the town to minister. He knew he had a place to get. He had to get somewhere. And notice he tells Peter, he doesn't explain himself to Peter. What he's doing here is he's not explaining himself to Peter. He's telling Peter why he was praying. Why no one could look for him. See, Jesus knew what was coming down the road. I've missed that, Corey, so many times. I've read this passage. Can't tell you how many number of times I've heard that and just never put the two together. He was praying because God was going to do something in the next town. You see, you don't know what happens when you tune in to the right frequency. You tune into the right frequency and then Daddy begins to download on you, man, because there are things that you have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. But God does. And that's why we tune in and we get that right frequency. Now, frequency, again, the ability to tune in. God uses moments of brokenness to speak to us into deeper trust. Yet if we're not tuned in, we won't hear it. We'll listen to everything. Why? Because we're tuned into the wrong frequency. Some of you have had friends like that. And I'm just going to bring it kind of on earth for a moment so you can understand that. Some of you have all had friends who've given you like horrible advice. Amen? Raise your hand. Been there, done that. I have bought many shirts of listening to the wrong advice. You should do this. You should do that. What's that song? I have oceanfront property out in Arizona. Yeah, right? We're not tuned into the right power source. We're tuned into the wrong source. And because we're tuned into the wrong source, we listen for the wrong advice. You see, getting into the right frequency helps us to hear the right voice. See, God wants us there. Hebrews 4:16, it says this. Watch this. Let us then, say let us then, fearlessly and confidently and boldly do what? Draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we may receive mercy for our failures. And I love this. And find grace to help in good times for every need, appropriate help and well-timed help coming just when we need it. The reason why you're not getting the help that you need and getting the answers that you need, Corey, is because we don't tune in. We're on the wrong frequency. We're supposed to be listening to rock music and we're listening to Hank Williams Jr. over here. Nothing wrong with Hank. I like a little Hank. I'm just saying, what are you tuned into? You know, I make fun of it all the time, but some of y'all, you're turned into One Life to Live, As the Stomach Turns, All Ryan's Children, right? Or Dr. Phil or Oprah or the latest GQ magazine or whatever. We're tuned into everything but what God says we should be tuned into. What are you tuning yourself into? When times are tough, I want ask this question. Write this down. What are you tuning into? What are you listening to? See, check it out for a second, really. The disciples, great illustration. I don't have time to pull the scripture up, but look. Jesus did this with the disciples. Jesus had told the disciples bunches of times that he wasn't from earth, that he was from his Father in heaven, and that he was bringing his Father's kingdom down to earth, okay? Many times, you don't believe me, go study it on your own. It's really good stuff, all right? Now, when Jesus gets ready to go to the cross, he tells the disciples this is what he's getting ready to do, and they all want to argue with him. And Jesus had been telling them why. They were tuned into the wrong frequency. How do we know that? Because they wanted a kingdom established on earth. They were thinking Jesus was going to come in with a bunch of soldiers, man, and wipe out the Romans, and that they were going to take up rule in this kingdom on earth. And that's why Jesus told them, hey, look, my kingdom ain't from here. My kingdom ain't here. But they weren't tuned in. So they were with Jesus, but they still weren't tuned in. We can be in our relationship with our Lord. We can be tuned in all a lot of the right areas, but miss it when it comes to important things that God wants to speak to us, because we're on the wrong frequency. We're hearing the wrong thing. All right, we're going to, let's see, All right, bottom line, developing an ear to hear is about relationship. We don't hear or maybe even listen to the Holy Spirit because we don't see the value in developing that relationship. Why does divorce happen? Divorce happens because we get out of tune. We stop listening to the frequency of our spouse. And it doesn't happen in just a couple of months. It happens over years. When we were dating and we were in love with each other and we were doing all this great stuff, we had it amazing. We tuned in. We wanted to, guys, don't even act like it. You listened. Oh yeah, you did. Back in the day, you listened. And then something happened. You lost frequency and you stopped listening to your spouse. Right? You did. We've all done it. We've all been there. And then you come 5, 6, 7, maybe 10 years down the road and you haven't tuned in enough and you can't understand why your spouse is all jacked up and don't like you anymore and think you stink. I smelled this way all my life. No, but you don't tune in anymore. I've been telling you all your life you stink. Use deodorant. It works. Because we don't tune in. Tune in. Hebrews 10 and 22. It says, let us all, are you in all? Say amen. Come forward and draw near with true, honest, and sincere hearts in unqualified assurance and absolute conviction by faith, by that leaning of the entire human personality, everything that we are, on God in absolute trust and confidence in His power, wisdom, and goodness. In other words, it's saying everything that you are, tune into who God is. Having our, goes on to say, verse 23, that's it. Okay, I missed it. That's my fault. All right. Flip the page. Having in absolute trust and confidence in His power, wisdom, and goodness, having our hearts sprinkled and purified from a guilty, evil conscience and our bodies cleansed with pure water. I need you to get this morning, church. Look, the reason why you still feel condemned is because you don't realize, you haven't tuned into this right here. The reason why you don't understand your relationship, why you won't tune in, sometimes you're afraid to tune into that frequency, is because of how you view yourself in light of God and who God is and what God thinks about you. And God loves you. He has a plan and purpose for your life. But that's why it says right there, I love it. Did you hear that? It says, with our entire personality on God, in absolute trust and confidence in His power, His wisdom, and His goodness, that's who He is, having our hearts sprinkled and purified from a guilty, evil conscience, and our bodies cleansed with pure water. He's saying, look, man, you need to draw in and understand who I am and trust me. Tune into the right frequency. Second one is frequently. Frequently is the amount of time that I spend listening. Now, look, the Bible says this. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. What does without ceasing mean? It means you don't stop. I pray all the time. I pray driving down the road. I pray in my office. I pray at the house. I pray when I'm eating. I pray when I see stupid things. I pray when I do stupid things. So, I mean, I'm praying. Yeah, I do a lot of praying in that area. All right? So I do a lot of praying. The Bible says to pray all the time. But look, if you are you hit it one time, you're looking, nothing happened, I'm done. Prayer. Listening to the whisper of God comes when we spend time in His presence frequently. I mean, sometimes, man, look, the first time that I heard my daddy's voice, I'd been in constant prayer for over 6 months, spending time with him. And I don't know, and I'm not going to sit up here and say, well, God was kind of testing me. I don't believe that. But I think God knew the attitude of my heart. I think it took 6 months for me to get to a place where I would receive from Him and hear His voice. And so it took that amount of time that I frequently begin to make a habit of spending time with Him with everything else shut off, spending time listening for that voice. You know what that meant to do? In order for me to hear God's voice, not only did I have to pray, tune into the right frequency, and I had to do it frequently, I also had to do something that it's hard for a pastor to do, and that's to shut my mouth. Oh, you can laugh at that because y'all know me. I'm going to talk. I had to shut my mouth. I had to turn this off, and then I had to do something else. I didn't check my brain in at the door, but I had to turn my brain off too. I had to open up my heart. I had to open up my spirit so I could hear Him speak. We've got to do it frequently. The more we do it, the easier it gets. The more I hear His voice, the easier it is that I recognize His voice. The more I hide his word in my heart, the easier it is to hear his voice. See, this is where the word really comes in powerfully, because the more I take God's word, the more I take this amazing blueprint of my life and I hide it in my heart, then when I am in prayer and I've tuned into the right frequency, I can't tell you the number of times that a scripture will come back to my remembrance. I was talking with this brother this weekend, and I said, I keep two types of journals. And I encourage people to do this. Two types of journals. I keep a personal journal. And in that personal journal, I write in it about, sometimes once a month, sometimes once every 3 or 4 months. Sometimes I write in it every day. It just depends on where I am in my walk. And a lot of times I use that for times and moments where God's speaking to me. And I want to remember these moments. I keep another journal. It's called a Rhema journal. How many in here know what Rhema is? Raise your hand if you know what Rhema is. You've heard the word Rhema before. I've got 1, 2, 3. Cool. All 4 of you guys. That's awesome. All right. For the rest of you, Rhema, it's spelled like this. Write it down somewhere in your worship guide. R-H-E-M-A. R-H-E-M-A. It is a Greek word. I'm going to teach you Greek this morning. I love it. Greek word that means revealed or revelation. Have you ever read the Bible? Like, let me find a scripture. One of my favorite scriptures is Ephesians 3:20. It says, unto him who is able to do exceptionally abundantly above all that I could ask or think, through the power that is within us, unto him be the glory and the honor in Christ Jesus. When I first read that scripture, this little light bulb came on. Light bulb, right? Some of y'all know what that movie that is, right? Have you ever read the Bible and that happened? That little light bulb came on and you went, whoa, I get that. You just received a rhema. You just received a revelation from the Holy Spirit, and he spoke to you about that word. So when that happens to Pastor Mike, I open up my Rhema book, I write that scripture down, the chapter and the verse, and I write the scripture there so that I'll remember that my daddy spoke to me about that word. And I can't tell you how many times when I've gotten into the dry seasons of my life and I thought maybe God has just kind of checked out on me, I can go back to that Rhema book and I can open it up and I can see where daddy's been speaking to my life. And every time it's applied to my life, somewhere, somehow. All right. Listen, church. 1 Thessalonians 5:15 through 20. Watch this. Says, see that none of you repays another with evil for evil, but always aim to show kindness and seek to do good to one another and to everybody. Be happy in your faith and rejoice and be glad-hearted continually, always. Be unceasing in prayer. Now look at the Amplified Version. Praying per, yes. I can do that, praise God. Yes, perseveringly. I love that. I knew what the word is in here, but right here it's like, really? You're not going to say that this morning. Okay? Thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be. Be thankful and give thanks, for this is the will of God for you. You want to know where to start when it comes to the will of God? There it is, verse 18. Some of you need to just start right there. I've heard your conversations. Verse 19, holy cow. All right, let me finish verse 18 because I got to set it up. For this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus, the revealer and the meditator of that will. Do not, say do not. Do not quench, suppress, or subdue the Holy Spirit. We do that every time that God speaks to us and we don't listen to it and we don't obey it, you quench the Spirit of God in your life. And God wants to move in your life. You know you're not supposed to do something. Maybe it's the direction that God, you want to go this way, and something inside you right here just boils up inside you and goes, you shouldn't do that. Don't go there. And you ignore it. You quench the Holy Spirit when that happens. That makes it really difficult to hear from Holy Spirit. It's not that he's not talking. It's because, look, I was taught a long time ago about the kind of two dogs syndrome. How many of you ever heard the story of the two dogs, the white dog and the black dog? Huh? So you got a white dog, right? We'll say the white dog kind of represents God and the spiritual things, right? Black dog kind of represents the world. So if I'm constantly starving the white dog's my best friend. He loves me, looks after me, protects me, got my back. Right? Black dog really doesn't do anything. He just stray. Right? He just hangs out. Right? But I'm constantly throwing all my food, all my energy, everything to that black dog. What's going to happen to the white dog? What's going to happen? He's going to starve. See, we live our Christian life that way. We come into the world and we'll feed ourselves on the world and all the good stuff of the world. And let me tell you something, the world's fun. I get it. But we're starving our spiritual man, and we can't understand why that is louder than this. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm not saying you're going to hell. I'm not saying any of that. Listen to what I'm saying. Spiritual principle. If I invest all of myself and my energy and my time to hear from the world, who am I going to listen to? The world. We have to tune into the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit speaks to us, even as ridiculous as it sometimes sounds, obey it. It's amazing what happens in our lives when we learn to hear that whisper. Let me tell you something, church. When we try to fix stuff on our own, this is what happens, our third point. We try to get into the world and we're listening to everything that feels good about all the skin stuff. Let me tell you what happens, our third point. When we operate in the flesh, it will always equal frustration. You're trying to do stuff right now in your life. You guys know I see heads shaking up and down. Listen to me. Some of you guys are trying to make decisions, but you're making these decisions out of your flesh. You won't take the time because we're impatient. I'm an impatient person. Ask my wife. I'm like Burger King, man. Give it to me now. All right? And that's the way we operate in our life. We think the spiritual life, sometimes, man, God is very patient. Very patient. And I love the patience of God because even when we're making so many stupid mistakes because we're human, he's still waiting right there where we left him. And then when we get tuned back in and we're doing it and we're walking back towards him, he's like, all right, he starts speaking to you right again. He just starts speaking. His volume of his voice isn't changed. It's the same. And you draw in, and when you draw in, you finally hear, and you're like, oh my gosh, I wish I would have heard this years ago. It would have saved my life from many, many bad decisions. Listen to me, church. I'm going to preach for a second. You mind? I'm going to preach real hard, so I'm going to step on some toes. All right, I'm warning you. Most churches won't do it. They just do it. But I'm going to warn you. I'm giving you a warning real quick. And we're going to, I'm not going to say that. All right. Listen to me, church, for a minute. It's not okay for Christians to have a higher stress level than the world does. This is where you can amen. It's not okay to have a higher divorce rate, church. It's not okay to have an attitude and walk around with an attitude when you are born again, children of the King. It's not okay anymore. We need to impact a world that is dying, that is hurting, and we act just like them. Why would they want anything we have? When we operate in the flesh, it will always equal frustration. Walk in the Spirit. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That doesn't mean we got to walk in the flesh or walk in the Spirit. What it means is we just go, I'm spending time with Daddy. And when Daddy talks, I'm going to obey him. I'm going to listen to the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tune into the right frequency. It's not okay to have an attitude. It's not okay to freak out at work like everyone else does. That is not okay anymore, believers. You belong to a kingdom that is not of this world. Walk in your kingdomship. Walk in your righteousness. Walk and be the man and woman that God has called you to be. Look, we have been lied to and deceived to by the world. And this is the deception within the church. That once we get saved, that man, we can still do everything that everybody else does. But we can't understand why there's no power in our life. The reason for that is it's not God being mad at us. It's not God turning his back on us. God is in the same place that you left him. He's in the same place. It's because, man, we won't tune in and do what God has told us to do as a church, as believers. Now, I'm not talking about your salvation here for a minute, okay? This is not about salvation. Grace is about salvation, praise God. But the cool thing about grace is it's still there even in working out the life that God's called us to live. So if you mess up, you mess up. Grace is there. But don't abuse it, church. Don't abuse God's grace. The righteousness of God is in you. You have become in right standing with Jesus who paid the price on the cross. The reason why the church is struggling and we still see the cross and ourselves like this is because we think that grace means that I can still live a lifestyle that does not honor nor please our Heavenly Father. And he's speaking to you about it. But because we don't want to look different, we don't want to be ashamed, we don't want to have our friends or our family reject us, we continue to live the same life. And we can't understand why there's no power. We can't understand why our children aren't coming to the Lord. We can't understand why our mom and dad won't come to the Lord. We can't understand why there's no power in what we preach. Because this is how we view our lives. We don't look at ourselves in the full mirror where we see God's glory all over us. He loves you, church. He loved you so much that he gave a life for you. There's power in the cross. There's power in walking in the Holy Spirit. It's not about works. It's about obedience. It is, guys. I know that we don't hear a lot of kind of preaching like this anymore. But look, you can't, if you hang out in a stall long enough where the horses and the pigs waller, you're going to smell like them. I'm not calling the world that, but we've got junk and funk in our life, and God wants to speak into our life, and we get frustrated, and we walk away, and we live the same life. We can't understand. Why is my life no different? Jesus Christ paid the price on the cross because he loved you so much. And what he's saying is, hey, look, I bought you. I paid for you. And you surrendered your life to me. Now let me speak into that life. Jesus said this of his disciples. I'm going to move on. Jesus said this of the disciples. He said, we understand the scripture, but that by this all men will know that you're my disciples. What is that, this? What is it? Come on. By this all men will know that you're my disciples if you what? One another. Love. Okay, very good. So love, right? But when he told the disciples and he sent the disciples out into the world to minister to the world, you know what he told them to do? Lay hands on the sick. Raise the dead. Cast out demons. He said, freely you have been given. Freely you've received. Now freely give. The reason why our church doesn't operate in that anymore is because we haven't drawn a line. God is speaking to you this morning. This isn't about condemnation or guilt or anger or any of that stuff, guys. But the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, and you know he's speaking to you. But the reason we can't tune in sometimes is because our tune sounds different. We're not listening. And he wants to do an amazing work in the, listen, the church, we come together on Sundays so that we can be empowered by the Holy Spirit so they can live the life that God called us to live out in the world. It's not so that you can take the Bible out there and be able to quote scripture to your friends and family. No, it's so that when you walk, people look at that and they go, holy smokes, there's something different about you. There's a power on you that I don't understand. It's being able to walk in Walmart and you sense that this person next to you needs prayer and you lay hands on them and pray for them. It's you walk in Walmart, you're walking at the, you're at the box and you realize somebody walks in, they're having a bad day, but because you're tuned into the Holy Spirit, you see that person, you see through that and you go, man, I want to pray, can I pray for you? We start acting like the church in victory. It does not mean that you're perfect, but it means that you're tuning in. Pastor Mike, what happens if I'm thinking I'm listening to the Holy Spirit and I miss it? You miss it. You start again. It's okay. I've missed the Holy Spirit. I've missed things that I thought God was saying that I needed to do, and I did it, and it wasn't God. Until I learned how to listen to the Holy Spirit. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you to reveal yourself to us at the beginning of this message. We ask you to impart into our hearts and into our lives. Help us to have the right frequency. To tune into the right frequency and be able to shut maybe the TV off for a little bit or Facebook or social media and just get to a place where we can tune into the right frequency in our life. Lord, we know that when we begin to do that, the others around us, when they begin to see the results and the fruits of that, there might be an insecurity or there might be a fear of our friends and what everybody might think. Help us to be a witness in the world, Father. Help us to walk with a demonstration of your power. Help us to do it frequently. Now here's how I know, every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. Here's how I know Holy Spirit's been speaking to some of you. Most of the time it's not going to be in your head. That's basically your thoughts. But a lot of times what happens is it develops kind of in your gut. You just feel this voice and sense this voice speaking to you. For some of you, it might be Daddy just drawing you in and saying, hey, come a little closer. Come a little closer and let me speak to you. For some of you, it's about trust. The reason why you have a hard time listening to the Holy Spirit and living the life that God has created you to live is because you don't trust your father. Because you view your father like you view your earthly father. Maybe he was absentee. Maybe he was abusive. Maybe he just didn't care. And so you think God is that kind of God. And God is not that kind of God. He's not that kind of father. He's a father that loves you. He's a father that wants to draw you in to experience the life that he created for you to live. But some of you can't hear the Holy Spirit because, to be honest, you don't have a relationship with the Father. You don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. All of us have had to walk a road. All of us have to take a journey where we've made a decision to say, you know what? Not my will be done, but your will be done, Heavenly Father. What is the Holy Spirit whispering to you? What is the Holy Spirit whispering to you this morning? He's speaking to you. What is he saying to you? We're going to pray and we're going to minister. We're going to do a song here in a minute with every head bowed and every eye closed, because I'm going to do something. If you have to leave and you can't stay, I get it. Man, if you would step out real quietly. But if you can stay for just a few minutes and let Holy Spirit minister to you, I believe you're going to be blessed by it. If you don't have to leave, just stay here for a few minutes. We're not going to be long. We're fixing to wrap this up. But I want to take some time and offer ministry and ministry time. Because some of you are receiving something from the Holy Spirit. Some of you, maybe it's a word of knowledge that you've needed to hear for a long time. Maybe for some of you, for the very first time, Holy Spirit's telling you he loves you. He's telling you what you look like in his eyes. He's showing you don't have to be that way anymore. Maybe for some of you, he's just opening up the door and you see a glimpse of the light of Christ. And for the first time, you're seeing how good of a Savior he is and that he loves you so, so much. First words that I heard my daddy speak was, I love you, son. It was a word that came at just the right time. It was a word that I needed to hear. I needed to hear my father tell me that because I hadn't heard my father say that very often in my life. And hearing that voice for the first time, amazing. So here's what we're going to do. Every head bowed, every eye closed. That's what I want you to do. I want you to say this prayer with me. I want you to say, Heavenly Father, shut everything down that I might hear your voice. Speak to our hearts, Heavenly Father. Speak to our hearts, Lord, and shut off the world for just a moment. Not that we can become so high-minded and high spiritual, but Lord God, so that we can be empowered to do what you have called us to do. And maybe that's at my job. Maybe that's in my community. But Lord, I pray that you'd speak to each and one of our hearts right now in Jesus' name. Take us to a place where we'll be silent and just allow your voice to speak to us in Jesus' name. We're going to take a moment. And it's going to be quiet. It'll be a little awkward for some of you because you like noise. Some people just love noise, praise God. So this is going to be different. I want you to have your worship guide handy. And when God speaks to you, I want you to write that down. Just write down what it is that he tells you. But he's going to speak to you. I believe that. So for just a moment, we're going to put kind of what we've been preaching. We're going to put it to the test. We're going to tune in right now. The band's going to play a worship song. Real quiet. And then as Daddy speaks to you, just write down what Daddy tells you. And then go home and make sure you put it somewhere that you can remember that.